Greetings and salutations. We are Pop Culture.
Welcome back.
What was that?
It was a bird.
It was a plane.
It's a frog. Superman.
Super frog. Hey, welcome back, everyone. And welcome to September.
He's a phony.
Welcome back to September, folks. End of the porch here.
All the
with
Family
us.
Guy Superman references you.
I am your host for this podcast, episode 56. We're on, and I have titled it "Superman Returns Again." with me on this porch are, as always,
hello there, Robert Yeoman.
And
Dave War.
And
Ron Roberts.
And unfortunately, Jeff isn't here, but I have it on good authority. He will be back for the next episode.
I can't wait to see
him. Another parallel universe episode. I thought we discussed
this. Nope, not parallel universe. I just know. I just know that he will be back. It's my gut tells me that.
Awesome sauce.
Thank you. But hey, you know what? So we're starting off September with another Superman episode. Now, back on September 9th, 2024, almost a year ago from when we're recording, we dropped, and probably about the same time we recorded it, the episode 33, The Kryptonian Who Fell to Earth. So it's been about a year since we touched on Superman, and I really didn't want to touch him again. But Dave and Ron, a couple episodes back, said they loved the movie so much, the new Superman movie, that they felt
phenomenal,
that it could be an entire podcast just talking about this Superman movie.
We reconsidered that.
Yeah, and we figured we'd do a quick 15-minute synopsis, and then out the door we go.
You know, well, to make up for the hour and 20 that we did last time or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got a dog. So we've got suck it up.
15 minutes of material and 20 minutes of us going,
Now that I've got you,
Anyway, gentlemen.
Yes, green and purple go together.
They could have used more of it.
That's very true. So, this summer saw a resurgence in superhero movies. And Superman, of course, led that pact.
Not the new Avengers?
No, I don't think they did.
They were there.
They were there.
They were holding up signs on the side of the road, but I don't know.
But
if they were,
I think Superman. In fact, I would have to say, and I will
AKA
start this.
AKA Thunderbolts.
Yes.
AKA Thunderbolts. I will start this with the almost controversial comment that I'm not sure we have superhero movie burnout, as much as possibly Marvel movie burnout. Because I think Superman proved that a really, really good superhero movie is going to be well, well received. And as much as I love Thunderbolts and as much as I really love the Fantastic Four, Superman seems to have hit everybody's pretty much more people's buttons of happiness than either one of those other two.
Though there are the folks on YouTube and other places that are trying to tear it down and because it's not their Superman. I think I have friends that are in that camp.
Really?
Not in this room. But yeah, it's like, okay.
So is there Superman the Snyder Superman?
No, I think it's just there is no. I think there's a group that there's just no pleasing.
Oh, I agree with
that. If it's not Christopher Reeves, it's not Superman.
And good luck.
Which is interesting because, you know, when that movie came out, I said, well, he's no Kirk Allen.
But then again, who is?
That's a deep cut all the way back to the 40s.
Hold on, I got to get my phone
out. I think it was
a
40s Superman.
Oh, 40s.
But because the reality is people, I think, get so invested in these characters, and then who portrays them, it's like, folks, Superman may be immortal, but we aren't.
Yeah.
And the reality is there are, I don't know how many actors have played Superman now, almost a dozen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go back to the first portrayals in film and TV, it's like, get used to the fact that your guy isn't always going to be the guy in the cape.
Right. Right. And that's hard for some people. And I think to tangent just a little bit on that is when we talked about when we did our Indiana Jones episode, and I said, "Do you ever see anybody else carrying the hat?" And everybody said yes, and I still don't see it. But I think in the end, to what you're saying is because to me, I will sit there at whenever they remake an Indiana Jones movie with whatever actor, I will be the one who sits there and goes, "That's not my Indiana Jones."
Yeah. Well, and let's look at James Bond.
Uh-huh. That's a weird one, and we are going to do a James Bond episode.
How many different James Bonds there are?
Yeah,
Doctor Who.
The
reality is these characters Batman. Will go on as long as there's profitability behind them.
Yeah,
These are you know, and there's going to be just different people playing them,
and there will always be the exactly, and there will always be the discussion of you know which one is better. Is you know Sean Connery better than Roger Moore, or is Michael Keaton better than Adam West, or you know that's always going to be there.
I mean, my God, in less than 20 years, we've had three Reed Richards.
I know, what right?
I know, that's true.
You know, and I think another one of the issues with the whole Superman thing is I think people don't understand what the character is.
Yeah,
and they have this idea that Superman is this all-powerful being and that he could just take care of anything. Mm-hmm. And what this movie did was it humanized him.
Yes,
very much so.
And I thought it was phenomenally well done. And people have this image of, well, Superman should never take a punch or he shouldn't get hit, shouldn't get beat up. Well, no. I mean, because again, there's still that morality that he has,
yeah.
that he's always struggled, going back to the comic books, of how does he use his powers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that that's where people get misconstrued, that it may be the actors as well, but I also think that they look at Superman as just this, you know, oh, he can just do whatever, so he's just going to do it, and nothing can ever hurt him.
Yeah. Right, which is the creep that happened in the Silver Age of the comics, you know, where suddenly he's juggling worlds and stuff like that. It's like, no, you got to tone the powers down. Mm-hmm. For lack of a better term, believability. But two, it's like because you need someone to be vulnerable, but it's not his vulnerability is not always about the physical strength.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this movie also showed. It's like his vulnerability comes from his emotions and his heart, and that's how you get to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is, in theory, you can't beat Superman. I mean, they came up with a villain in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Almost predictably, that seemed to be as strong, if not stronger, than the character.
Right.
And there may still be people who haven't seen it, so I don't want to give too much away. But they know about Ultraman, so-called Ultraman.
Right.
I don't know, maybe we can give it away at this point.
I say we'll
if
give
you
it
don't
away.
Want to listen to it, then don't think.
You know what, folks? At this point on, if you're listening to this, there are going to be spoilers. So if you haven't seen the Superman movie, either expect spoilers and keep listening, which is what I hope you do, or turn it off and after you see the movie, come back to Spotify or Apple or any of the others and listen to us again and tell us why we're and let us know why we're right.
Yeah, because it's all over the place. You know, Ultraman turns out to be a clone of Superman,
mm-hmm.
which in one way I liked because they even call him an imperfect duplicate, but they said he was stronger than Superman, which is like, I think the writers may have did a misstep there. Because what I would say
is... And James Gunn wrote this.
Yeah, the same thing that they did when they reintroduced Supergirl in the early 2000s. They first thought that she was faster and stronger than Superman for some reason. And then it finally came out, no, you're not. I hold back.
Mm.
She being new to Earth hadn't learned how to hold back yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a man who literally has to hold back just to touch somebody.
Yeah.
You know, given his strength and stuff, which is the other thing. It's like he's always, the character always has to be under control because he can kill with a glance,
mm-hmm.
heat vision. He can kill with a touch. He can kill with a whisper.
Yeah.
You know.
He could try and flick someone on the nose and all of a sudden the whole head goes flying off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a person who grew up holding back.
Which makes me wonder exactly how did him and Lois have kids?
Hmm. Well, I'm hoping that doesn't come to pass in this universe,
mm-hmm.
Because I go back a little deeper. I'm enough of a science nerd to say the likelihood of Kryptonian DNA and human DNA merging is astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, beyond that, it can't happen. It's something they do in science fiction all the time. It's like, oh, it's a hybrid between a human and a Vulcan. Not without some heavy genetic editing. Just because you look the same doesn't mean you are the same mm-hmm. species. And
right.
the fact that Krypton, you know, if you're a biologist out there, you may please let me know, and let me know when I'm wrong, but the likelihood of DNA is matching. There's so many possible combinations of DNA. The likelihood of it matching well enough to have children is just not possible. And in fact, in the movies, I think they had done with the last Superman Returns.
Where he had a kid.
It was supposed to be that he had that at the time when he was depowered. And presumably during Superman 2, and presumably was human at that time.
But.
Which is still pretty
far. He's still Kryptonian.
Flung. Well, but no, they were saying that his DNA was switched and he became human.
Oh, okay.
Which even then, that's a pretty magical device, too.
Well, but all fantasies have those devices. Right. They've got to have this device.
Well, and we can get into a bigger discussion of, can Superman be depowered? His powers don't come from a special gene or something. He's a Kryptonian. So even at the beginning when it says, you know, he's a metahuman, I say he's not a metahuman. He's an average Kryptonian.
Mm-hmm.
All Kryptonians under yellow sun with the in Earth's environment will have superpowers. Now, they are kind of hinting that maybe they won't manifest necessarily the same way. There might be something different coming with the Supergirl movie. Okay. But the dog clearly has the same power set.
Oh, Crypto.
They didn't use his Crypto's vision powers, because when you get down to a dog with super vision, it's probably a scary thing.
I know.
Yeah.
But I liked in the Reeves movies, or the 70s and 80s movies, in Superman 2, where they showed that the big villain, he couldn't
Zod.
Do the, not Zod,
oh,
the physically
the
big.
The big guy.
Yeah. Ursula or whatever. He couldn't use the heat vision because it took some concentration.
Right.
So I like the idea that, yeah, if you need to have a little brain power behind that, that would keep us a little safer from Crypto.
Yeah.
Crypto, who, again, just being a puppy, as they portrayed him in this one, is a dangerous being.
Sure.
And to Ron's point earlier, and I'm already taking over the podcast, you know, the concept of Superman as he is today, it is a frightening one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's literally a man you cannot stop.
Mm-hmm.
And he has these incredible powers. And like I say, heat vision can kill you. He doesn't even have to approach you. Heat vision, he can do a super shout. He can clap his hands and create supersonic. You know, there's any number of ways Superman can kill you without even trying.
Mm-hmm.
And not only you, entire cities.
So to wrap this up, yeah. We like the movie?
So what saves us from Superman, it's been
himself.
Pointed out, is his humanity.
Sure, yeah. Sure. So I and that's what this movie
his adopted
really
humanity,
right? And this is what his was this movie really was about.
Yes.
Now let's
without
go down
killing anyone.
Yes,
on
without
purpose.
Snapping anybody's
yeah.
neck.
I got to believe a couple of those. What were they calling the raptors?
Yes,
they fell from a pretty good height.
I would assume.
Yeah,
but they knew what they got into.
Yeah, they knew that. They knew the risks.
Yeah, I noticed a few of those hit the ground, and I was like, "Are they getting? Oh, they're getting up." Ooh.
But I guess my question to that is the other reason maybe people didn't like it. Does that speak more to who we've become as a society?
I hear you.
That if you have people with this all powerful being, but he chooses to use it not to hurt people. Is that that's more of a reflection on us, I think.
I wouldn't really think about it.
To some degree, isn't Superman always been a reflection of
well,
us?
Well, yes. But to now, though, for people to rebel against the fact that he was, quote-unquote, woke, is pretty sad
when
you think about it.
And what it tells me is people who thought Superman was woke, it's like he was woke before it was
but they didn't even know what the term was. Right.
Superman
has been.
Always been about everybody.
Most
but,
superheroes have, though. When I mean,
but,
like Captain America.
They came from
I
an
was
age,
about to, that's what I was going to
They
use,
came
Captain
from an
America.
Age when the American way stood for something different than what it does today.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm going through a lot of these old Captain America comics from the 70s now. And, of course, you know, at that time in the 70s, you had Watergate and you had Vietnam and all these issues with trusting your, I mean, not, you know, trusting your government really became. And, you know, Steve Rogers for a while said, no, I'm not going to be Captain America because I don't believe Captain America. Then he comes back and says, no, I forgot what I'm really here for. I'm here to represent the ideals of this country.
And Superman stood for truth, justice, and the American way. And there was a brilliant series in the comics. What's wrong with truth, justice, and the American way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the American way doesn't mean we're biggest, baddest, and strongest. It means that we're accepting.
Yeah.
We help.
Yeah.
We're here to help the world, not to dominate it.
Yeah, I agree 100%
and
with that.
And that's what what Superman's about. He's here to help, not to dominate. Yeah. And I saw some wonderful comic book panels that I kind of explained where Wonder Woman was talking to Lex Luthor, basically, and Lex Luthor, she says, you know, I can't imagine what Superman sees when he looks at us. You know, we're all so weak and frail. And she says, no, when you talk to Superman, you're his heroes, humanity. Because we are so weak and frail, and yet we overcome, we go still do these wonderful and great things. We do all this stuff without special powers.
Yeah, I like that.
Superman admires humanity because we can do it without the gifts he was given.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that I don't know who authored that. I don't know what comic it was from. It's unfortunately, I've got to get back into reading. I have my subscriptions to DC Unlimited and all that. I got to get back to reading some of this stuff. But you know, Wonder Woman gets it.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. let's go down the list.
Yeah.
With this movie. And I don't know all the actors' names, so I'm not going to call them by their names. And if anybody knows the names, shout them out. But let's start from the top, and I just want your opinion on the actors and how they did in the roles. And we'll start with Clark/Superman. I can't remember his name either. But did you like him?
You know what? Go ahead. Start. I'll pull up the cast list so we can give people credit. Go ahead.
Why? They don't listen to this?
You never know.
They're like, I don't want to hear these old men. But anyway, you know, we've
Cromwell?
David Cornsweet.
Cornsweet.
Cornsweet?
Yeah.
Who's Cornsweet.
Who I may have said in some previous episode, I thought he was English, but he's not. He's American.
Yeah.
Or United States, at least. But he did better than I anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
He personified the Clark Kent Superman, I thought, very well. It was a good modern interpretation of the character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it worked. Mm-hmm. You know, would he have been my go-to for Superman? I don't know. I wasn't in the casting room. Mm-hmm. But my problems, I had no problems with his performance.
What about you, Ron?
Yeah, I thought that he did a really nice job, and I liked some of those subtle call-outs to Christopher Reeve. Mm-hmm. In the way things were styled, the one thing I would like to see them do, maybe, and maybe if there's another Superman movie, which we don't know if there will be or not,
I think he said he wants to do one more.
Is to dive more into the Clark side of it,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I do think that when he did go back home and he was with his parents, you saw bits of that, even with his interaction with Lois Lane. I would really like to see more of that relationship.
What?
Because I really thought that the interview that she did was phenomenal.
That was the best scene.
Was
that
well was written.
And that was how many minutes of the movie?
Right.
A good chunk of the movie, and it was just talking.
Yeah.
And it to me, it was like that's where they broke the mold on the Marvel comic. And there was nobody was bursting through the door. Nobody was trying to steal Lois Lane away in harm. That was great. And it was about the essence of Superman.
And
yeah, I agree.
And on top of that, to piggyback on that, in the other scene where he's talking about where he needs to go find Krypto, and in the background, you've got the Justice Gang fighting the battles, and she's like, do you need to get that? He's like, no, they'll handle it.
They got that.
And you caught when you said that's an interdimensional imp.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that was Mr.
Agreed.
Mixelpitalik.
Everybody okay. Goes to your animated
Brian,
DVDs.
Bob, what did you think about Superman?
What do you think about the actor?
What are you, Bob?
Bob?
The actor did a wonderful job. No complaints. He's young enough to be virile.
And yes, he is.
To carry the
enough
character.
To carry the...
For a while.
Yeah, because he's, yeah,
I agree,
as an actor, he's what, late 20s, early 30s?
Yeah, I think early 30s.
They got him early.
32 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he's got a good decade that he can play the character.
If not more, actually.
If not more, depending on how they work with the character.
Yeah.
You know, because in the comics, Superman has aged. I mean,
sure.
Used to be Superman was always 29.
Right. And I agree with all of you. I thought he did a fine job. I think I went in the same probably as you, Dave. That's like, we'll see. But I walked out of there going, yeah, that's Superman. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
And unlike some of my friends, I try not to go into these with any preconceived notion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially since Iron Man. I mean, to give nod to Marvel, it's like, I went into that. It's like, who cares about freaking Iron Man? Mm-hmm. And then I left saying, oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I try to go in as open as I can and say, let's see what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Was it my Superman? Of course not. It is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I went in, I knew it was going to be different.
Sure. And I agree with you 100% on that as well. I think I forgot what I was going to say. Let's continue on with the other characters. Lois Lane.
That was Rachel Brosnahan.
which I want to say, I'll start with this. I sat through that whole darn movie.
Trying to figure out who she was.
Trying to figure out who that actress was.
I did too.
And after the movie was done, I turned to my husband and said, we've seen that actress, right? And he gave me a look like, you are the dumbest piece of human being on the earth. He goes, that's the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because at first I'm watching and it's like, her accent's like, why would Lois Lane have a New York accent? She's from Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
But it was supposed to be an East Coast accent, I guess. But then I'm saying, why? She's so familiar. And I had the same problem. And I knew going into it that I had read who Lois Lane was.
I know, I had too.
I knew her history.
But totally forgot, and then was sitting there going, oh, no.
But again, same kind of thing. I think good interpretation of Lois Lane for the new century.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Ron?
Yeah, I thought so. I also liked, again, the subtlety of her with Margot Kidder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of there. I found it interesting that she seemed a little bit more put together than the other Lois Lanes that we've been used to. It seemed like she was a much more of a strong female character.
Didn't have that scattered.
She didn't need to be saved.
Yeah.
Right, which I think is what the calls for today.
Yes, oh, I agree. Absolutely. But I do think that was really nice that they didn't insult the audience and say, oh, we got to put this damsel in distress.
And I like the fact that they started right off with Clark and Lois already know each other.
Yes.
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 She already knows he's Superman. We're not going to go. We're not going down this route.
Yeah,
I mean they did that a little in the Snyderverse as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know it's like okay, let's deal with it. But now I think there was great fun back in the day of her trying to figure out the secret.
Oh sure.
Or stumbling on it, or saying that's odd. Why is Clark never in the room when Superman is? You know,
right.
But
that was the 1970s. That was 40 years ago, and like we've said,
that was the entire Silver Age.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
In the comics. But back then, all Lois could think of was Superman. I've got to marry Superman. It was not the Lois Lane, frankly, even then, girl reporter.
Right.
That she deserved to be all along.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken almost 90 years, but I think Lois is finally standing up as a character herself.
Yeah, I agree.
We got to remember, much like Mickey and Minnie, Lois was there from the beginning.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Though originally she was apparently writing letters, advice to the forlorn, sob stories that she had to deal with every day. She was an advice columnist.
Right.
They changed her to a reporter along the way, probably because they realized they could get her into more trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, what the biggest fiction in this whole movie is that the Daily Planet is still a very successful print journal, but they clearly had an online component.
And that's how
they pointed
how
that out.
Brought everything
they?
Down, yep.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, publish online, publish that, you know, he mm-hmm. clicked there and did mm-hmm. it on all their channels.
Yeah.
So it's the one media company that figured out how to do it.
How to figure it out. What about you, Bob? Do you like Lois, the actress?
I thought she did a wonderful job.
I agree.
I didn't watch the Marvelous Miss Maisel, so I had no reference to her acting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
which might have been better.
I thought she was wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next on the list.
Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor,
not
Tom Cruise. Nicholas Holt.
I see it, though. I saw it.
You know what? I could see it, too.
And I don't know how far we're going down this list, but one, thank you, James, for bringing back a ball to Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Yes.
If you're out there, James, call us.
Thank you for bringing back Eve Tessmacher and Otis.
Yes.
Now, where was Miss Tessmacher? Because I missed her.
That was Luthor's girlfriend.
The one with the pink.
The one who did all the selfies all the time.
But was actually doing...
Jimmy's girlfriend.
It was Jimmy's
okay,
girlfriend.
The one in love with Jimmy.
See, I didn't see her as Tetschmacher. I thought she was just a character.
No, it's Eve Tessmacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're both throwbacks to the 1978 movie.
Yeah. It was 78 or 77. And that was wonderful.
It's like, I don't remember. I mean, There was a flamboyant woman.
That was her.
That's her. Yep. And by the way, did you know there's an Otisville in Michigan? So he apparently did get his town after all.
I did not know that.
I just was looking at a map of something else, and it's, oh, there's Otisville.
Why don't we have T-shirts for this?
For Otisville?
Beautiful Otisville? I don't
Come
know.
Come to Otisville, where an adjunct...
But back to Luther.
I thought he did a great job off of Vampire Hunting. He was in Nostradamus.
Yeah, he was.
Thing. But
also played the Beast.
He got
X-Men
that
movies.
Rage, Luthor's rage, and everything. Very, I mean,
was, the hate. He was the pure hate.
The pure hate.
Yeah, I thought. And maybe you. I'm sorry. I'm going ahead of you this time.
No.
I thought. I think you said it. And I was thinking the same thing. They got Luther right this time because Luther was evil. He was just pure evil.
He knows he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's going to do anything he needs to do, and he doesn't care who's in the way.
Yeah. Yep.
I totally agree. He's unabashedly, I'm for me, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah. What about you, Ron?
The only thing I didn't like was the final shot of him with the tear in his eye.
I didn't understand that.
I didn't get that. To me, it was like that was totally against what he was the entire film. If you're going to be that what he is and just to be a bad, evil guy, then just be evil. So you got caught. Well, you know what? You'll figure your way to get out, right? Because you've got connections. You're Lex Luthor. So that to me was a disconnect with the little tear shot. But yeah,
I don't remember.
I hated the guy.
No, I saw, and you're supposed to.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But but my point is, you go see some of these movies, and it's like you almost cheer for the anti-hero. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing about Lex Luthor.
No,
that made you want to be like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, so that again, well written character, I've rooted, well acted,
and yeah. Yes,
oh yes, was, very much.
And
so.
If it was making a political statement, so freaking what? That's what art does.
But yeah.
It really does.
And
Absolutely.
If it hits too close to home, then maybe we need
Pay
to look
attention.
In the mirror.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't want to see myself. Well, guess what? Maybe you should. Yeah. I know we're
here's a man
who
was literally caging up his old girlfriends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Crypto. What everybody think of Crypto?
Oh.
Other than it wasn't your Crypto.
Well, I didn't like the breed of dog they chose.
Right.
I don't think it is a breed. I think it's an imaginary.
Apparently it's based on James Gunn's actual dog.
Dog. Yep. The look of it.
I appreciated that he was white again. White fur.
Yes. I wasn't going down that road.
Well, and for those who don't watch a lot of the, I presume people who listen to this podcast watched a lot of cartoons and stuff over the years.
Sure.
But Crypto has been depicted in various ways especially over the past couple decades.
Yeah.
Where he's been like a giant wolf dog, he's been this, he's been that, a beagle, but it's like, to me, Crypto's usually a hound of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't have that much, the fur is smoother and shinier.
Right.
Like
it's a short hair. Yeah.
That was really the only thing I had. I was concerned when I heard that what they were doing. But it's like, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, in the Superboy comics, Crypto had to be the most well-behaved dog on Earth.
Sure.
Because Crypto's dangerous by
himself. Can't kill you.
Himself. Sure. I didn't, as Superman says at one point, I didn't want to leave the dog behind. I didn't want him to kill my dad's cows.
Yeah. Yep. I had no problem with Crypto, and I agree. I liked the fact that he was a little spunkier than what we've always seen Crypto as, the most obedient dog. But that's also, to me, very James Gunn.
Yes.
That's, okay, here's where our humor's going to, a lot of our humor's going to come from. But it was also tempered.
And he acted like a dog.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Put a shiny thing in front of him, he's chasing it.
Yeah, exactly. Squirrel.
Get the squeaky toy.
Yeah. Did you like Crypto, Bob?
Oh, I loved him.
Yeah. He's good. All right, real quick, because we're really actually... Mom and Dad. Mom, Pa. That's where I had more problem. And I don't know how to explain myself without coming off as sounding horrible on this.
I think...
It was a different take.
Well, I think that it was a difference because... The movie was modern, but the Kents were still stuck in like the 50s. And to me,
40s
even. And I think that
I didn't feel that.
Well, I think Ma was. I think Pa was a little bit more.
Yeah, when she said it's on the box,
right?
But I thought, in fact, because the house was more of a modern ranch, or probably the ranch she grew up in, and go back 20 years, well, actually almost 30 years,
mm-hmm.
That's what was a little jarring to me, because I'm used to seeing them in old farmhouse.
Farmhouse, yeah.
Yeah. But as James Gunn pointed out, that's not what farms look like today.
Sure.
What's your issue, Brian?
I think my issue is that they really, really, and I don't know if they did it on purpose. I don't know how to say this. I felt like the Kents were just a little too
simple.
Simple. Thank you. A little too simple. And the more I thought about this, because I've laid awake almost every night since this movie thinking about the Kents, I think because these two actors were not what we have seen before with the Kents, because everything we've seen before as the actors portraying them have been the good-looking actors. These two actors, and I don't know their names, I don't know what they've done before, but they look like something that came out of the back 40 of Kansas. Does that make any sense? Yes. Without sounding insulting?
But again, he was going for an ordinary look.
Sure.
They weren't Kevin Costner and was it Diane?
Glenn Ford and, yeah. back in the day.
They weren't movie stars.
Right.
They were just supposed to be ordinary people.
Which, when you put it against his Kryptonian parents, makes that huge.
Right.
Oh, it makes it very huge.
It really makes a huge statement.
Because they were the pretty people.
Bradley Cooper and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize him as Bradley Cooper. Yeah. It wasn't until I read it later. Yeah. I went, that was Bradley Cooper? I wasn't even.
But yeah, that, and I think that was intentional. Now,
we
didn't have a lot of time with the Kents. One, no. I was thrilled they both survived the movie.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
One of the mistakes I thought back in the early days, the Kents were gone before Clark moved to Metropolis. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't go back to the Silver and even into the Bronze Age. At some point, with John Byrne, when he redid it, he basically said the Kents never died, they're still alive, which made more sense for the time, because back then it was an elderly couple that adopted him. It was the 30s. People just didn't live as long.
Right.
Right.
But now they do. And in fact, the Kents both made it to the Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman TV show,
mm-hmm.
Intact. But then at some point they started killing off Pa Kent again,
mm-hmm.
in the comics and everything. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know why we're doing this, because I think they're going for a Batman or a Spider-Man vibe.
Sure.
Uncle Ben.
Right.
Whatever. To kill him off. It's like, you don't need to do that. The support of the Kents comes from the fact that they are there,
mm-hmm.
and they can support. So were they a little? Presuming there's another movie, maybe we'll see a little more of them and get the feel. Because we also have to remember, these are the Kents. We're seeing the Kents as they are today,
yep.
not as they were when they found him 30 yep. years ago.
Right. Right.
And relationships with parents and children change over time.
Yeah.
But the love, I think, still came across from both of them.
Yeah.
I agree.
Did you like the Kents, Bob?
I thought they were wonderful.
Yeah, I did. I did too. I mean, their look threw me off, because it's not. And again, because we're used to somebody in Hollywood, a Hollywood pretty person is going to play these two. What threw me off.
Well, and
the one thing that I found is I kept remembering the animated Superman from the 1960s with that guitar riff.
Mm.
Anytime they talk about Ma and Pa Kent, mm-hmm. they cut away to a next scene, you always had that guitar riff.
Oh, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah. What were you going to say, Dave?
Nothing. I was just listening.
And then we're going to wrap up the characters and that with the three. Four. Let's go four. We had Hawk Girl. We had Guy Gardner's Green Lantern. We had Mr. Terrific, and we had
Metamorpho.
Thank you, Bob. What did you think of this? What did they call them? The Justice Gang?
The Justice Gang is what Guy wanted to call them.
Yeah, the Justice Gang. Thoughts on them?
Well, Ron's looking at me, so I'll just
go ahead.
As characters, actors, fine. I'm more concerned, questioning where they're going with these characters. I don't see this group as being the Justice League.
Yeah.
And I really thought they were going to be Mr. Terrific and the, basically, and the Terrifics.
Right.
He had a group called the Terrifics.
Right.
And this group seems to fit that mold a little more of the kind of the outcast things. Curious which Hawk Girl they really are going with here. There have been several over the years in the comics.
Sure.
Because there's didn't seem to be a Hawkman.
No. Nor any mention of
Carter
Hall.
Like, say,
Hall
of all the Green
that.
Lanterns to pick to start the Justice League, Guy Gardner would not be the one.
You know what? I went back and forth on that. But it makes sense, again, to me, in the James Gunn universe.
Well, and it may make sense when you go back to the Justice League International days in the comics with Max Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already established that Max Lord is funding the Justice Gang. And if they're going to do something like that, then now it's like, okay, maybe this makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
A couple of things with Hawk Girl. I thought that they played the fact that she was not Superman and does not have the same morals as Superman was nice.
And they established that.
Yes, they made that.
They clearly have future plans for this group.
Sure.
And then I also thought the scene where Metamorpho was in jail and was Krypton.
Yes.
To wear Superman down because he refused to kill his son was one of those scenes where it's like it really hammered home that Superman really is a good person.
Yeah.
And that's where it started to click in Metamorpho's mind. Wait a minute. You know, to save himself, he wouldn't kill my son. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And that just, you know, to me, again, was another well done scene.
I agree.
Which again, shows Lex's single-purposedness.
Yes.
Purposeness.
Doesn't care.
He doesn't go far enough to think about how he's incapable of understanding how other people react.
Yeah. Nor does he care.
That's like Lex's weakness.
Yeah. Yes. And Guy?
Again, I thought it was well cast.
It was Guy.
The fact that when he lands and he starts just dropping the big middle fingers was just, again,
was such a
change to what Superman would, you know, it was phenenomenal.
Yeah.
I hope they set up the joke with once Batman
shows up, the one punch.
Do the one punch.
I want to see a one punch so
and
bad.
That might be where they end up going, even with the Justice League. It'd be interesting to see them start with this so-called Justice Gang.
Yeah.
And then basically it's like, yeah, Max, you're out. Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are here, and we're going to form the real Justice League.
Yeah,
Hal, or John?
John.
Get in here.
Yeah. Because they're supposed to be doing a
Justice League move. But,
it's focused on John. The Hal's supposed to be in there.
Oh, they're doing the lanterns.
The lanterns.
Yeah, it's John, and I think Guy is supposed to be in there.
And Hal's going to be in there, but it's supposed to be a John, mostly John-oriented. Yeah. I liked all of them. But I still walked out of there, and it's probably the only problem I had throughout that entire movie. I believe Nathan Fillion pulled off Guy Gardner very, very well. I even got used to the stupid bowl cut. But
it
I'm sorry.
It took a while, but I agree.
Yeah, it took a while.
And that's the character design.
But at the same time, when they were showing close-ups, I just went, wow, are you looking your age?
Well,
and that's my only problem was that I wish they would have made him Guy Gardner 20, 30 years ago when he was
young and brash.
Yes.
Well, and even frankly, I've always enjoyed Nathan Fillion's performances and everything.
Me too.
Nothing against him. But when he was walking across the desert, it's like he's walking like a 60-year-old.
Yep. Yep.
But you realize. I mean,
no matter how good a shape you're in, there comes a point where the hips just don't.
Yeah, like they just don't make it like they used to.
The hips don't lie, ladies and gentlemen.
But basically, it was a great movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many Silver Age elements brought back in, and they did them in a truthful way. You know, the Superman robots. I love that they moved and they had done this comic at least once. You know, they moved the fortress to Antarctica, which makes more sense this day of melting polar ice caps, mm-hmm. and that it was hidden underground, under the ice.
Yes. That was
sweet. I mean, they're still keeping the crystalline structure and everything from the 78 movies.
Right.
They did so much things. I was thrilled with the tease of Supergirl. Now, a lot of people are saying, what? Why is Supergirl a drunk? Blah, blah. There's a whole point to that.
Mm-hmm. You had to explain it to me because I couldn't understand it.
Chill, folks. We're back. Believe it or not, we're actually back to the original Silver Age Supergirl.
Yeah.
And things that people forget, they're all remembering the TV show, and some of the later incarnations were basically she was sent to either watch Cal, or she was actually rocketed earlier and fell into some sort of space warp where she got to Earth later. Mm-hmm. This is the Supergirl who watched her family die on Argo City.
Yeah.
And her friends. So that
there's a lot of PTSD in this
faith.
One.
Yeah. I have a lot of faith in James Gunn after what I saw in this movie.
I was about to say that. I have faith in James Gunn in the entire DC movie universe.
I mean, I know we're doing the other Batman currently, which is, I guess, adjacent. I would love to see what Gunn can do with Batman. Mm-hmm. I want to see what Gunn can do with Wonder Woman. I want to see what Gunn can do with Justice League. He has a tendency, to my part, to maybe go a little too far to the humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something he's got to weigh in. A little humor is nice, like when Superman's lying there and Mr. Terrific's saying, I don't know the actor's name.
No, but he was amazing.
He was a great, wasn't he wonderful?
And that battle scene with him and the army was just, with those T-balls, were awesome.
Yeah. And that's something maybe, I was getting back when Superman's just lying there and Terrific's saying, "What? Can't just stop lying around, we got important stuff." I am doing important stuff. that kind of stuff. That was cool. Mm-hmm. The battle scenes, there was never... I think maybe when Superman was fighting the Raptors was probably the closest we came to it. We didn't have this giant, massive battle where the world is exploding and everything's going on. The battle scenes were smaller, and I think that was more effective.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Mr. T's coming in. He's got to clean up a camp of a few people who are hanging around trying to guard this device.
And by Mr. T, we mean Mr. Terrific, not...
I keep saying Mr. T.
Mr. T.
Mr. Terrific, not be Mr. T. Even the big battle in the Middle East or wherever that was supposed to be.
Right.
It was one battlefield.
And you know what? It actually... this movie, to me... talking about another scene that really was good, and I had seen it on the previews, and I wasn't sure where it was going to fit in, and I thought, well, I already saw this, so it's not going to mean much. When that kid,
the flag.
Oh yeah, save us, Superman.
Yeah, that was a great moment. Even knowing that that was happening, I mean, because he crafted that so well. Now I will say, for me, I think you are right about James Gunn, and he likes to push humor in everything. However. That being said, if you look back at Guardians of the Galaxy 3, there was very little humor in that, and that got very dark.
I think there's a balance.
Yeah.
And hey, he's out there making millions of dollars.
We're not.
And making movies. I'm not.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not going to take career advice from me.
Yep.
but that would be my caution.
Yep. Well, I'm giving Julie the day off. We're not going to do that.
What?
Favorite moments.
I thought someone was missing.
But I do think that we've all mentioned our favorite moments. I just think it was a grade A Superman movie, and I haven't been this tickled since the second Christopher Reeve's movie.
Yeah.
I like both the first and second. But you guys want to do a quiz?
Sure.
All right. Hey, guess what I have as a prize.
Superman.
I do not know what the coin currency was on Krypton, so I hope you don't ask Jor-El's net worth.
No. This is something that I've been called many, many, many times at my house. Today's Big Deb's prize is...
Honey buns.
Oh, my God.
Honey buns.
I'm salivating. Salivating?
Salivating.
I'm salivating.
Again, Big Deb is still wearing her traditional blue and white check.
Yes.
McKee, a family bakery.
And Dave is doing his best Homer Simpson.
Why should they actually... Why should they pay for sponsorship when we're giving it away?
Right?
I know, that's true. Well,
why pay for the cow when you're getting the milk for free?
That's always been my problem. Hey-o. I give it away free.
Hostess... If you want us to stop talking about
Debbie,
you
know what you got to do.
You know, contact me. All right, we're going to start with you, Ron.
All right.
All right. Question number one. Which other Superman director, other than Gunn, actually wrote a script for a Superman movie? Was it A, Richard Donner, B, Zack Snyder, or C, none of them?
I'm going to go with C.
None of them. Bob.
Donner.
And
I'm going to go C.
It was C. Now, Donner did take original script that he had helped with to make the Donner cut, but he never actually wrote the Superman movie. So, number two, Bob, you're going to start here. Who wanted the Superman trunks to be used? A, David Cronenweth, Superman. B, James Gunn. Or C, James Gunn's wife.
Since I haven't heard anything about it, James Gunn's wife.
Okay.
A,
David Cronenweth, and
Ron. Superman.
It was Superman himself said, we got to get those trunks back on.
And I love the way he did it, Ron.
What's that?
You know why he wanted to do it? Because he said, look at wrestlers today.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And those are heroes to the kids. Yeah. So this is not an anachronism. It is something that they can relate to.
Underwear on the outside.
Underwear on the outside. Well, who can't relate to that?
Because the trunks, though, I noticed change from the Speedo kind of brief look to more of a boxer type, though.
All right. I think you're going to get this one, too, Dave. We'll see. Which Superman movie is the only other one to show the yellow S shield on the back of the cape? Was it A, Superman Returns, B, Superman 3, or C, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace? Oh, I thought he'd get it.
I'm going to say Superman 4.
Quest for Peace.
I'm going to go Superman 4.
And Bob?
Superman 4.
Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
I remember seeing Christopher Reeve with the yellow on his back.
Yep. All right, Ron.
Yes.
The newest Superman movie runs 2 hours and 9 minutes. Where does it rank in running time to other Superman movies?
Oh, jeez.
A, the third longest, B, the fourth longest, or C, the fifth longest?
Third longest.
Bob, third, fourth, or fifth longest?
Third.
Let's make it a clean sweep.
Fourth.
Fourth.
Oh. Fourth longest. Bob,
yeah, number... Figure that way, we're either all right or all wrong.
Five.
Strategy.
Bob, which James Gunn movie has Nathan Fillion not been a part of? Oh. A, Slither. B, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Or C, he has been in every Gunn movie ever made.
He's been in every Gunn movie ever made.
I think he's been in every Gunn movie ever made.
Yeah, I think he's his John Brad. Yeah.
That's it, folks.
John Ratzenberger.
Yep, I think so.
Yep.
Dave, are you next?
I think so.
Yep. Which actor had a cameo as a Raptor soldier? A, Will Reeve, Christopher Reeve's son. B, Michael Rosenbaum, Lex in Smallville. Or C, Tom Welling, Clark in Smallville.
It was Tom Welling.
Tom Welling.
Tom Welling.
Rosenbaum?
It was Michael Rosenbaum.
Ah.
Well, you guys are just... This is great for me. Seven is Ron.
Yes.
What is the real name of the dog who played Crypto? A, he doesn't have one. B, Ozu. Or C, BB?
Ozu.
And Bob?
He doesn't have a name.
Okay. And Dave?
He doesn't have a name because there wasn't a real dog.
Oh, dog.
He was based on a real dog.
Yes, yep. I did not get the point.
Crypto was entirely animated.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
was. Ozu question. Is the name, was the name
wasn't
of Gunn's
James
real
Gunn's dog.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of
okay.
Gunn's dog.
All right.
I was ready to fight that one.
No, it was a trick question. I did that. I knew.
Bob.
Which of these movies has Skylar Gisanda, Jimmy Olsen? The actor not been in. Which of these movies has this actor not been in? A, Licorice Pizza. B, The Resort. Or C, Joker Folie d'Or. The second Joker movie.
I'll go with the second Joker movie.
All right.
The second Joker movie.
Second Joker.
That is true. All right.
Which I barely got through.
I never saw
never
it.
Never saw it.
I could just, I'd refuse.
I wouldn't bother.
Yeah. Ron. Oh, Dave. What city and state was Rachel, how do you pronounce her name?
Brosnahan.
What city and state was she born in? A, Indianapolis, Indiana. B, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. C, Chicago, Illinois.
I think she's a Milwaukee girl.
All right.
Give me Indianapolis, Brian.
Indianapolis and Bob. Indianapolis, Indiana, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or Chicago?
Milwaukee.
And one for Dave and Bob. She is from Milwaukee. All right. And Ron, you're next. Which of these villains has Alan Tudyk, who played Gary, the robot, not voiced for DC?
Oh.
Yeah. A, Dr. Phosphorus. B, Clayface. C, Metallo.
Dr. Phosphorus.
All right, Bob.
Dr. Phosphorus.
And Dave, Dr. Phosphorus, Clayface, or Metallo?
I know he does Clayface. Dr. Phosphorus.
Metallo. It was Metallo. All right, Bob. Bob, here's yours. This is an easy one, folks. I thought no one knew it because I didn't know it. Who played Jor-El in this movie?
Oh.
A, Bradley Cooper, B, Vin Diesel, or C, Tim Roth?
Bradley Cooper.
Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
3 points. All right. Right across the board. All right. Dave. Number 12. Which of these Superman comic writers was not acknowledged in the movie?
Oh, I know that.
A, Dan Jurgens. B, Mark Waid. C, Joe Gill.
Oh, I don't know that. Dan Jurgens, who?
Mark Waid, Joe Gill. I studied this one. I went, this is the one question I had to make sure 100%.
I looked at the list. I'm trying to imagine. Joe Gill.
And Ron.
What one was it? What answer was that?
Dan Jurgens, Mark Waid, Joe Gill.
Give me B.
Mark Waid. And Bob.
Mark Waid.
It was Joe Gill. Mark Waid and Dan Jurgens both had street names. Byrne had a street name. They were all, almost all in there.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the end credits.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Because they listed all the
of
the creators.
All the creators.
And, well, and of course, you know, the Siegel family. But I was thinking it was going to be Alan Moore because he famously doesn't like his name put
anywhere.
On things.
Yeah. Who's next here?
Ron.
The villain, the Engineer, came from what comic book series? A, The Authority. B, Stormwatch. C, Justice League Dark.
Justice League Dark.
All right, Bob. The Authority, Stormwatch, Justice
League. The Authority.
And
The Authority.
It was The Authority. Yep.
And the Wildstorm
universe
or whatever.
Dave is really in the lead on this one, folks. Bob, next question. During her interview with Clark, a framed newspaper written by Lois can be seen in the background, referencing what DC fictional company? A, Cord Industries, B, Stag Industries, C, Lord Tech.
Repeat.
During her interview with Clark, a framed newspaper written by Lois can be seen in the background referencing what DC fictional company? A, Cord Industries.
Cord Industries.
Cord Industries? All right. Dave, Cord Industries, Stag Industries, or Lord Tech?
I think it was Lord Tech.
I'm going to go Lord Tech.
Stag Industries.
I didn't think.
Which makes sense. Since
I think all were mentioned at some point.
Oh, in the movie. All three of them were there. Dave, number 15. Jitter's Coffee Shop is briefly shown. From what CW show does it appear? A, The Flash. B, Smallville. C, Arrow.
The Flash.
And Ron.
Flash.
And Bob.
Flash.
Aww. defender of the universe. All right, and finally, last but not least, Ron.
Yes.
The ad for Zesty Cola appears briefly. Which comic book hero loves this drink? A, Booster Gold. B, Wally West. Or C, Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson.
All right. Bob, Booster Gold, Wally West, Dick Grayson.
Booster Gold.
And I was going to say Booster Gold just because.
Dick Grayson.
And who wins the honey buns, honey bun?
Well, thanks, sweet cheeks. The winner of the honey buns goes to Dave.
Woo! Superman!
Thank you, Jeff, for not being here today.
Oh, I bet you he's going to come back on the next one, though.
Should we predict whether he wins the next quiz, or should we just wait and see?
He doesn't.
You don't think he does? I bet you he does.
I bet he does.
There's
blood in the air. He wants that package.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what the prize will be next time? It may not be honey buns.
That's very true.
It's going to be something seasonal.
Yes.
Do you think that?
I think so. I mean, we're getting close to fall.
We are getting close to fall. And that takes me to the next episode, which is episode 57, which is all about the spinoff. Dave mentioned wanting to do spinoffs, and I thought that was a great idea. I love spinoffs. There's a lot of great spinoffs out there. Joni Loves Chachi is not one of them. But anyway, so I want to thank you all for being here.
I just want to let you guys know I have an affinity for Robert Guillaume. That might come into play.
Okay. Thanks for the warning, Ron.
Just letting you know. It's a quirk of mine.
Okay. all right. Well, anyway.
Learn more about Ron than we care to know.
It is.
Thanks, Ron.
Sleepy.
I want to thank everybody here. I want to thank the men on the porch who showed up and the one who didn't even. And I want to thank the Monroe County Library System, Ellis Reference Library, and, of course, MPAC Studios, who help us drop these every 2 weeks. And other than that, I want to thank all of you that are listening and all of you that come by and just kind of hang out on the porch with us, you know? I just wish, you know, you would all just listen to me and stay off our lawn.